Of our daily editorial midweek. It's Wednesday. My famous co-host is on the line right now, Jim McKinney. We're going to talk about what's going on between Russia and China. That is a very, very interesting combination, Jimmy. Where do you think it's going to end up?
Well, again, I think it's interesting. We see this combination of Russia, China, and then you've got this outreach with Iran and Syria. And then, of course, you've got North Korea on the Chinese border and that, you know, long-term relationship certainly reaching back to the late 40s and 50s in the war. So here you have kind of a forming coalition of groups that are run primarily by authoritarian leaders, right?
Yep.
But then
is that a bad sign for us, Jimmy?
I think it is. I think it's a bad thing. I don't know if they're going to have the economic power at first to be successful, but with China's growing economy and of course the Russian nuclear capability, it is a formidable, you know, problem. And of course, the Iranian influence in the Middle East and the relationships that the Chinese are building throughout the world.
Yep.
They are becoming very influential with their diplomatic power, with their economic power, with their information warfare, information technology power, and of course, with the military, advancing military capacities.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just reading about the relationship with New Zealand. New Zealand is actually questioning the relationship with the West and, you know, kind of going between the U.S. and China.
You know, Jimmy, New Zealand doesn't bother me too much, but once we start to get, if that turns out to be a very successful relationship for the Kiwis, I think more and more countries are going to look at that, see what happened, and maybe do the same thing. It's kind of scary to me, Jim.
Well, and here's the key element of that. So in the intelligence community, they called the Five Eyes community, U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Those are the most sensitive intelligence relationships that the United States and the West has.
Yeah.
And, of course, if that's corrupted because of relationship with China, that actually takes away a significant intelligence capacity. But not only is New Zealand being pushed by that, the Chinese have bought most of the manufacturing, most of the mining opportunities, has a tremendous influence on the Australian economy as well. So again, the Chinese outreach through the Belt and Road Initiative, through this unrestricted warfare operations and their influence in Africa, in these, you know, developing and undeveloped nations.
Yep.
And of course, the proximity to South Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, and even Japan makes them a very influential and formidable power. Right now, I think the problem for them and for Russia is that eventually the Chinese will dominate all of those powers. And again, it still remains a very small oligarchic authoritarian, you know, communist, you know, leadership.
Right. Yeah. It's, I wouldn't have so much concern about it, except I do have quite a bit of experience with the Chinese and obviously the Chinese mentality. And it is, quite frankly, almost second to none, Jim. And you probably found that out during your career also.
Well, the Chinese, you know, we look at buying influence as corruption, right?
Yeah.
When we pay off to political leaders, pay off to other businesses in order to get business, pay off to Hunter Biden in order to have influence in Washington.
Boy, they sure
we look at that as corruption, but the Chinese look at that as normal routine business. That's not something that's out of their culture. It's actually part of their culture.
Exactly. I found that out by example when I was with the bank. They didn't take it to an extreme there. They really didn't want to do that, being a domestic bank in the United States. But the attitude really did show through, Jim. It really did. You know, we call it moral values here in the U.S., and they call it normal business ethics, as you said.
Yep. And it's so, what I think, though, is the long-term problems with this coalition that's developing, that appears to be developing, for Russia and for Putin.
Yep.
I look at it as a bit of a desperate move on Putin's part to become closer to these partners. It's certainly a military requirement to sustain his operations in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
So he needs the Ukrainian drones. He needs Ukrainian armaments. He needs Chinese support and funding and resources to buy, energy from them. He also needs ideally indirectly their military equipment. They'll be difficult if they continue to buy. But the problem is, The problem for China is if they become too close to Russia in supporting combat operations in Ukraine,
right,
then the EU and, of course, the United States and even Canada will probably push back with more restrictions, more economic, cutting off economic relationships and ties with China, which makes it economically a problem.
I don't think they'll do that personally.
Well, if they do, that's a problem for them over the time, because ultimately the US and the EU are their biggest markets.
Yeah.
And you're not going to, Iran and Russia and, of course, Africa and other of these small areas are not going to be able to carry the economic load and growth that the Chinese would need to sustain, to stay in parity with Western powers. So without the EU, without NATO, without, of course, the U.S.
Yeah.
But the other part of it, this is the negative part for Putin and the risk he's taking. Look, he has the Far East, the Russian Far East. Russia is a massive country, 12 time zones, I believe. And the entire eastern portion of the country, we've got a huge Chinese border there. And there's been a kind of an illegal immigration process that's been going on for a few decades near the borders, with Chinese going across the border and having more influence. But ultimately, Russia being thousands of miles away, centered in Moscow, and their ability to defend or protect against Chinese encroachment, or ultimately absorbing those raw materials, those massive amounts of raw materials in Siberia and the Far East.
Yeah,
that's very problematic for Russia. So getting that relationship may be short-term beneficial, but long-term, really Russia's biggest security threat is China. And when they wake up to that, that would be important for them if there is a change in leadership in Moscow, which I suspect after what's happening in Ukraine over time, that we are going to see a change in leadership in Moscow.
Oh, I think that's very true. But, on the other hand, I'm not really sure what, at this moment in time, what China would gain by growing closer to Russia, Jim. I'm really not.
Well, it's, sometimes it's like, hey, there, it's the enemy of my, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right. And in this case, China actually, maybe sustaining Russia weakens the United States and NATO and the EU to a point where China is able to take advantage of that and grow deeper tentacles into those markets and have more diplomatic and economic influence.
Well, I think, quite frankly, that's the key, Jim, to what's going on over there. I mean, we think that, we're the prettiest baby in the nursery, but we're really not necessarily. We cannot discount the importance of the areas that you just mentioned, i.e., the EU, et cetera, et cetera. China is very, their thinking is much broader. If their markets could be expanded dramatically to include on a regular basis the European Union and certainly that whole area. I mean, they've already gone into Africa. They're going all over the world. They get Europe, which is the only place left really where they're not really throwing a real big amount of effort at it right now, but they could very easily start doing that. And I think as soon as they want to, they will do it, and that'll hurt us very definitely economically.
Well, of course, and I think what we're seeing right now with the expansion of Chinese influence in South America and Central America, that's very powerful as well. You're right. There are very few places that they don't have actually an economic stranglehold. And if you really think about the treasury yields, the bonds, and of course the the debt that the Chinese own.
Right.
The problem is very significant. As we're watching our own system kind of economically fail, you're going to see the possibility of an advantage with a more a more authoritarian centralized system.
Yeah.
In the long term, that's incredibly dangerous in my view. But the they're looking at this as a fantastic opportunity. And you tied together this whole concept of unrestricted warfare, economic, diplomatic, information, infrastructure, all these different pieces that they've been working very hard on over a long period of time.
Yeah.
You throw in their military capacities, and a lot of people say, oh, well, the U.S. spends four times as much each year on defense. Well, the U.S. is probably 10 times more committed around the world than the Chinese. The Chinese only have to focus on a very small area to have that influence, especially if they have the economic power and the economic influence. So when you're looking at a conflict in Taiwan, which controls 70% of the world's chip industry, silicon chip industry, they could shut down by taking Taiwan. They could shut down most modern industry around the world, as we saw through COVID.
Yeah.
You see what they did with COVID and what the lockdowns were with this potential virus that came either accidentally out of a lab or potentially as a bioweapon, and we don't know the details of this, and it's still speculation. It's not just conspiracy theory. There's a lot of facts that go behind it. You have a tremendous amount of power and leverage the Chinese have built over the economic system. And they are not worried about voters. They don't care about their domestic interests.
Right.
They will make decisions based on the best interest of the nation. And that may be at the sacrifice of many thousands or millions or even tens of millions of people around the world. But certainly they don't care about their voters' response to this.
No.
They have too much power, too much control, and unfortunately, too many U.S. industries and too many U.S. politicians have bought into that, allowing that that power to go unchecked for too long.
Well, it has been too long. There's no question about that. Jim, I want to change the subject a little bit. Came out on the headlines last night and again this morning that Biden's response to the tragedy in Nashville, 26 killed, and it turned out, I think, as you mentioned when you and I were just chatting socially on the phone yesterday, that the instigator of this absolute event, I guess I should say, it turned out to be a transgender person. It was a born a man, and became a female school teacher. And
actually, it's really confusing. A lot of people, I wanted to catch you on that, Will, because it was really confusing.
Yeah.
She was actually born a woman.
Yeah.
And wanted to be a man.
Oh, okay.
So very rare situation, but the news had it all mixed up and a lot of different outlets had it all mixed up yesterday.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, it was a 28-year-old woman who identified as a he, him, and had called themselves Aiden, called herself Aiden, and had gone to this school previously.
Yeah.
And so we don't know the full details yet, but what we do know is that within 2 hours, roughly 2 hours of the event, the White House had already come out and made a public statement demanding more gun control and the stopping of assault weapons because it was based on their initial reporting. So they were jumping on this crisis. What they did not realize and what happens when you do that too quickly is it turns out that maybe the facts that you're saying or trying to imply come back to haunt you. And when it turns out to be a transgender person, when we've got all these identity politics things, and of course the Uvalde shooter too, that in Texas, and that, remember, there was in Uvalde, there were over 20 people killed.
Yeah.
In this one, it was actually three adults, 3 9-year-old children, and the shooter themselves was killed by law enforcement.
So they had a total of 7 people.
Total of 7 people. But
although who cares about the shooter in a sense. It's a terrible thing as a Christian for me to say, but that person's action was pretty bad too.
Oh my gosh, it's, you know, there's no, absolutely no justification. And I've talked about this often, and I talked about it yesterday. I was doing a presentation with a group, and I talk about, you know, really it's not the gun issue is not the problem. It's the social issues that are creating this anger and hate and animosity.
You bet.
And what you see, and this is what was so disturbing, when Biden came down to do that speech, so immediately jumping on a political hot topic to take for his political advantage, the first thing he came down into the room in the White House briefing room when he went to do the speech, he talked about ice cream and how he came down. He heard there was chocolate chip ice cream down there. How horrible and how disingenuous is that? And how much does it show the lack of care about the situation? And of course, the irresponsibility of the White House, this president, to make a comment like that as he goes down into make a speech about more gun control. That, to me,
I agree.
Absolutely embarrassing for the White House.
Yeah, I watched that.
And again, undermining trust and credibility.
I watched that last night, and I could have predicted the headlines in the Seattle Times this morning, which were Biden immediately calls for immediate elimination of assault weapons to the public, you know.
Yeah, and of course, he immediately called for more ice cream. Then he called for you know, more assault weapons, or a ban on assault weapons. So this, to me, it was an incredible embarrassment. It shows the lack of credibility. It shows the politicalization of everything. And actually, what this does is incite the violence that we're seeing around the nation right now.
Sure.
And the division. It's not unifying by any means.
Yeah. Crazy world we live in, Jim. There's just no question about it. Jimmy, I know you got some more presentations you have to do. I appreciate you taking the time so we can continue to inform from an insider what's going on in our country. Thanks, Jim.
You bet, Al.